Welcome to the download of Business Daily with me, Ed Butler, in Ethiopia, where a very African race is underway. Tens of thousands of enthusiastic citizens run, walk, and in some cases sing their way past me in the annual Great Ethiopian Run. Africa's biggest road race this year is aiming to raise tens of thousands of dollars for anti-poverty charities. In the capital is a sea of orange-branded T-shirts proclaiming that objective, testament to the spirit and enthusiasm of the people here. There is a confidence about Addis Ababa. You can feel it everywhere. Business is booming thanks to rapidly expanding services like tourism, telecoms, and banking, making this Africa's fastest-growing non-oil economy. An impressive 8% growth forecast for this year alone. It's a far cry from the painful images of hungry children that many still link with Ethiopia's past. Still, much of the countryside remains desperately poor and dependent on food aid. And that's where the government's latest big idea comes in. It's leading the way with bold plans to develop the rural economy as well. In some cases, it seems, whether the rural people like it or not.
On the lowland areas, you know, there is scarcely populated. Therefore, we are planning to have the cereal crops, oil crops and pulses at the...
As Director of Agricultural Investment, Esaias Kabede is leading the charge. He's been briefed by the government to lease out to foreign investors a slab of Ethiopian territory that's the size of Belgium. He gave me the reasons why he believes this will drag Ethiopia's agriculture into the 21st century.
The first one is to transfer of technology, to transform the traditional agriculture to the modern agriculture. Without technology, we couldn't increase the productivity of this country's agriculture. And the other is enhancing of the quality of agricultural production, which is important for the local industries as well as for the global market.
Right. I mean, let's just look at this area. We have now a map in front of us of Ethiopia, and the areas you've got shaded here are really around the western edge, aren't they? These are the big, huge farms that will be out here in the west lowland areas.
On the west and south and north part of the country.
How much do you think it's all going to be worth to Ethiopia? Is there an estimate? If you lease out this 3 million hectares that you're talking about in the next 2 or 3 years?
You know, it generates a huge economy. On the next 5 years, we are planning to have 40% of increment in agricultural growth. This has its own contribution for that growth.
The proposal is grand and it's controversial. Some foreign campaign groups call it a land grab, one in which ordinary farmers are being marginalised for the sake of big business. As I was leaving Esaias Kebede's office, I encountered two big businessmen waiting in line. From China's Hunan Agricultural Joint Stock Company, Deputy Manager Ouyang Wanqing, who plans to rent a 25,000-hectare sugar plantation. And also Behani Fusaha, representing the Saudi Star Corporation, which hopes to grow 1 million tons of rice annually in Ethiopia for the Saudi Arabian market. He told me the inspiration for this huge initiative came from the global spike in food prices 2 years ago.
As you know, in the worldwide there was a shortage of food. And Saudi Arabia, they are importing all food items from India and, you know, from the east part of Asia. But there was a shortage of these food items too, especially the Indians, they want to holding what they have. So the Saudi, they have to have an option. So they opt to develop rice as what we have started, like Saudi here in Ethiopia. This was initiated by the Saudi government.
So the idea is basically to achieve food security for Saudi Arabia. That's the original idea.
Not only that, but first, the government has its own target. He has to fulfill and feed his own people first.
Yeah, because some people are seeing it a little strange that you have a big company like yours exporting, you hope, 1 million tons of rice back to Saudi Arabia when 13 million Ethiopians depend on food aid, isn't it? Something like that?
I just said explicitly, first we have to fulfill our gap, you know, the food shortage. If you have an excess, it's true that you can export. But while you are in shortage of food, you cannot export. This is wrong approach and wrong perception that people have said it.
So what are the conditions of your lease? I mean, how much are you having to pay for your land?
The price of land lease is 158 birr per hectare.
That's about $10.
Yeah, about that, yes.
And what do you have to do for your lease? I mean, do you have an obligation, for instance, to employ local Ethiopian workers, or can you employ purely Saudi staff? I mean, how is it going to work?
This is purely, you know, dependent on the job type. If I want a day laborers, we are obliged to take it purely from the local people. We are obliged also to do other facilities, you see, like clinic, schools, and others.
Right, so you have an obligation to build a clinic, well, to build schools, to build roads, electricity supply, things like that?
Definitely. This is, you know, one obligation, you see, of the things that we have to do for the region.
So everybody wins?
That's right. That's what I think so.
我觉得我们到埃塞俄比亚考察以后的话，觉得他这边有很好的就是林业投资的。The
first thing is there are so many natural resources here, and the second is the sunshine and the rain here is full.
What do you think the people will gain? How many local people do you think will have jobs on your farms?
这个进当地的人的话，分两个就是层面的人，带有继续的耕耘。
The local people farmer, maybe 15,000.
You're going to employ 15,000 Ethiopians,
yes,
on these farms?
People, yes, for farmers.
15,000 workers?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
An awful lot of workers, isn't it? You're confident you can find that much work in a modern mechanized farm?
The first stage, maybe we're not like this, we're just step by step, and at last, we just arrived at 15,000. And him pointing out tonight, the local people's work is inefficient, their work.
The local farms are very inefficient, you're saying?
Yeah.
Which is true, but there are local farmers working on this land, aren't there? Are you worried about the farmers who may lose their land because of the farms that you're creating?
He
said there is no living people there.
Nobody at all?
Yeah, nobody live there. It's just for invest.
I've heard that line again and again from investors like China's Ouyang Wanqing and government officials. Ethiopia is a huge water-rich wilderness, they say. 80% of its land is totally unused, and much of that is ripe for high-tech development. But can there really be no losers in this initiative? Through a series of discreet contacts, I've sought out someone who's giving me a very different view. He's from the Western Gambella region, where many of the new farms are springing up. He agreed to speak on tape, but he asked that I hide his identity. This is not a country where many feel safe to criticise the government. Was it true, I asked, that the land that's being leased was empty and idle?
That is not true. Land in Gambella is demarcated according to the communal holding. They use the land for different purposes, for agriculture, for hunting, some for gathering fruits during a famine. So I don't think there is an empty land in Gambella without a history.
So whole villages have been cleared here?
Yeah, most of the villages, their areas have been cleared. We have seen that villages are being bribed just to buy their own farm to investor.
Well, that's just paying them compensation, isn't it? Isn't that normal commerce that you would pay a local guy to buy his land? If he wants to sell, he can sell.
One person cannot sell the land. That land is ancestral land. Coming to the area to bribe the local farmers with this, they might do it because they are attracted to get that money. But tomorrow, for their future, land is security.
But isn't the commercialization of agriculture in Ethiopia just a necessity? I mean, there's not been enough food. It's never worked over decades that Ethiopians can support themselves as an entire population by their own food. Isn't it time that the real world of globalized agriculture came in and actually increased output?
To me, this is a very crucial political issue. The government put its back to these people. People should come first, not the resource.
Have there been human rights abuses connected with the acquisition of this land?
There are a lot. There are a lot of human rights abuses. You cannot speak freely about the land now. If you continue, you will be thrown in prison or something will happen to you. And some people have been killed because of this.
People have been killed because of the land acquisitions?
I think more than 10 people have been killed so far, and many people have been put in prison.
This is all in the last 18 months?
Yes. So this is a dark period for all the indigenous people living at the southwest of the country. Their land is wanted, their resources is wanted for the country, and government using globalization policy without any restriction. Indigenous people, they want to bring things now on their own, to their hands, because law does not work anymore for them. When you speak like this, you are in danger. You will be killed or tortured. For me now, I'm in danger. I might not live here more than months, because I'm becoming very concerned with the situation happening.
Allegations of abuse like these have been made by other individuals, but Business Daily and the BBC have been unable independently to verify them. In the southwestern Omo region, a dry lowland plain, huge farms are also being planned. Farms that will draw heavily on the one or two rivers that provide the only local water source. There are no limits, I've been told, on how much water the foreigners can use for their crops, even thirsty ones like sugar and rice. Amongst the locals I've met, there's ignorance and confusion about the planned investment.
We're not aware of the government bringing in foreign investors. We don't know about this. If they do it, we don't know what to do because the land belongs to the government and we're not told about this issue.
We want to start working, but we have to be given tools to do this, and it has to be us, the people. We should farm our own land.
Many of the local farmers in these parts are not settled, but are pastoralists. That means they depend on a wandering lifestyle, often travelling huge distances to find adequate pasture for their cows or their goats. 4 million or so Ethiopians live like this. One southwesterner, again anonymously, told me his fears for the future.
Of course, the land are going to be farmed by government, and the pastoralist life could also be affected in a way they could not go back to the place they used to graze their land before.
So now, people in your area, they'll be travelling with their goats and their cattle, and they'll be walking through the valley, and suddenly they're going to hit a fence where before they would be able to walk through and find the green pastures. They're not going to be able to do that anymore.
Yeah, there will be a block, and then they will going to find a new way to reach good pasture.
Well, the good pasture might be inside that farm. It might all be gone.
Yeah, it might be.
Are you worried that a traditional way of life for your people may now be under threat?
There is a lot of maybe expectation that there will be no more culture in general within the pastoralist area, that everything is going to be changed soon. The pastoralists, they say all land they're living in belongs to them. That's exactly what they believe in. And I don't think there is compensation that's going to take place.
Are you worried that the traditional way of life of your tribe, your community, could now be lost?
That's another fear, that we will going to lose our culture and then there will be nothing that to remain for the next generation. We already start to have some documents already, in order to keep for the coming generation. Because I'm afraid it might going to be only a story that we're going to tell them. Our children, I mean.
Back in Addis Ababa, such concerns seem a light year away. Here on the new Ethiopian Commodity Exchange, a dozen or so men and women in green suits shout and wave hands at each other, fixing deals on farm produce like coffee, maize and sesame. Yes, it's a pale shadow of the mighty trading floors you'll find in Shanghai or New York, but it does represent a start towards a new kind of commercial farming. Abrera Deresa was the minister who helped design the latest agricultural program, and he says that some Ethiopians need to face up to change.
When you talk about pastoralists in Ethiopia, pastoralists have enough land for their cattle.
Even with these new farms,
yes.
Which some of which are huge in these areas?
Yes, yes. They have enough land for their pastoral areas. But at the end of the day, we are not really appreciating pastoralists remaining in the forest like this. We have to improve their livelihood through creating job opportunities through the private sector so that they can go and work in the private sector activities. That
so pastoralism is not sustainable?
Exactly, exactly. That is the objective why we bring commercial farmers, mechanized agriculture, to create job opportunities, to change the environment.
Well, certainly the international investors I've met have promised a lot of jobs. I suppose it remains to be seen how many jobs actually get created. But there is local protest. People have been kicked off the land, but I've also been told there have been arrests of people protesting about the new farms.
Why? Why people are protesting? If the people are not approached wisely, if you don't explain what investment is going to do, how they are going to invest, how they are going to benefit, maybe they can ask questions. But some people who have different interests, they may create some confusion among the community.
So if someone is giving false information or wrong information in that area, they may be subject to arrest?
Maybe, yes, you have to verify. The objective of the government attracting foreign investors is to enhance mechanized agriculture in this country.
So the allegations of people being arrested and some people being killed in that area, you're saying are untrue?
It's not true. I'm not aware about this. I've not heard about this, that people are killed because of this. I'm not sure about that. It may not be true. You have to verify.
Foreign land investment is not just happening here in Ethiopia, but across Africa and on a grand scale. Some believe it could help to treble the continent's food output in just a couple of decades. But even experts at the UN and the World Bank, who I spoke to, seem unable to agree whether the current foreign intervention is really a good thing or not for ordinary Africans. With the immediate prospect, for example, of food aid continuing to be needed in Ethiopia, while rice exports go to feed wealthy Saudis, there could yet be profound political and psychological challenges facing this country. You no doubt have your own views about the difficult choices between giving land to the poorest and attracting commercial investment. So do remember to send us your thoughts at world.business@bbc.co.uk.
There's a BBC podcast for every area of business. From the top issues of the day...
This is Mike Johnson from the BBC.
...to the bottom line.
A place where some of the players on the front line of the crisis could tell us how it's affecting them.
Download your choice of BBC podcasts at bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.